Now, so the people who said last week I'm anti-marriage, even anti-heterosexual if such a thing exists, and I'm even anti-women, they accuse me of all sorts of stuff. We're going to talk about weddings, we're going to talk about getting married, and an interesting little take on getting married. Terry Flanagan, you will know from our Friday programme, Terry is a science teacher, he's a biologist, and he's a reporter on the science programme. And we've got Brian Whiteside in, and Brian is with the Humanist Society. We'll talk to Brian just a moment. Brian, nice to see you again.
Nice
Thanks
to
for coming
see you.
In.
It's been about a year since I had the pleasure of being on the Mooney Show.
Yeah, you were Mooney'd, not married that day,
indeed.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Terry, you've got a wedding coming up on Friday.
Yes, I won't be
By
here
the way,
Friday.
This is not an April Fool's. This is serious.
It's after 12 noon.
It's after 12 noon, yeah.
It's off after that.
Yeah, it's after 12, you don't do it.
Yeah.
So, Terry, go on.
Friday, I will not be here with you on the Friday show, but I have a report, a very nice report on pheasants that you have, but I won't be here because I'm going to a wedding. Oh. My niece is getting married. But as I was saying to you at the weekend...
What's your niece's name? Come
my
on,
niece
talk
is
us through it.
Deirdre.
She's getting married.
She's getting married to Paddy. And the two of them are getting, Paddy West, and they're getting married in Kildare, in your part of the country, in
Lovely.
Naas, in the Killeshee. And it is a humanist wedding.
Yeah,
so it's
okay.
A different type of wedding. I've never been to a humanist wedding before, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And what do you think a humanist wedding is going to be like?
Well, I don't really know because I've never been there. But
no, what do you think it's going to be
What I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a more personal wedding than, say, a church wedding. I think that the couple will have more of an input into it. It's they choose what they wish. I mean, Brian will set us straight in this.
But you're doing very well, Terry.
No,
like
well, but I would. I'm really looking forward to it. That's really all I can say. I suppose really I should be coming back next week to tell you how I got on at it.
Yeah, but the reason you're here to tell us about it today is that you have been asked to be a deputy.
Well, that's
true. Like the old West.
Well, yes, there is a concelebrant, or a celebrant. Is that the correct term?
Celebrant is good. Yeah, celebrant is good.
I was going to say a priest, but it's not.
A solemnizer. Is that the correct term?
Yeah. Well, a solemnizer is a celebrant who can legally perform a marriage ceremony. The legal term is solemnizing. I never thought I would end up being a solemnizer, Derek, but I am a solemnizer.
Okay.
I may not look like one today, but I am.
So, come on, tell us.
So
don't hold back. Like you're skating around. Tell us the story.
I'm not holding anything back at all. I'm going to the wedding and there is a celebrant there. But I have been asked that if something goes wrong with the celebrant, if for some reason, God forbid, that the celebrant cannot make it on the day, could I step in and perform the ceremony?
No, hang on a second. I don't think you can mention God if it's a humanist. Can he?
We're not too precious. We're not too precious.
Isn't there some situations where God is not to be mentioned?
No, that's in a civil ceremony.
A civil ceremony. Sorry, my apologies. But I'm glad you were here to put me right. I knew there was something there.
You understand the difference between a civil ceremony and a humanist ceremony,
that's
do you?
That's why we have you here.
Ah, right.
You're going to explain.
A civil ceremony is a ceremony performed by a state registrar. Mm-hmm. And state registrars, and they're a fine body of people, but they are civil servants. They conduct legal marriage ceremonies Monday to Friday in registry offices or in HSE approved venues. Hmm. We as humanist celebrants have much more flexibility. We can conduct ceremonies any day of the week, any time of the day, and in any venue, providing it is open to the public. That's a stipulation, and that's just the law. OK, it must be premises open to the public, but it needn't be OK'd by the HSE. It can be anywhere that's open to the public.
Mm.
And our approach to ceremonies, as Terry touched on, is that our ceremonies are very personal, very meaningful. If a couple, you know, I suppose traditionally most people got married in churches. That's just the way it was. And I suspect, you know, over the years, even people who maybe weren't terribly religious, it was the way it was done culturally and traditionally and everything, not necessarily religiously. They went to the church to get married. But I think that, you know, the whole thing has changed and people don't necessarily buy into the church in the same way as they did. But they want something more than a civil ceremony. So for the last year, we've been able to conduct legal marriage ceremonies. And the approach is that it's very personal, very meaningful. We would meet the couple on a couple of occasions and we would talk to them about, you know, what sort of wording they wanted. I mean, there are, of course, certain bits that have to be in there legally.
Like what?
Like for a marriage ceremony to be legal, you must make two declarations. The first declaration, and this sounds funny, but this is the law. The first declaration is what's known as the no impediment declaration. So if I was marrying Brenda, and but, you know, yeah. Well, my wife is called Brenda, so is it's quite she? Easy for me to use this.
Well, you wouldn't get confused if you're having an affair with her anyway.
I would have to say that I know of no impediment to my marriage to Brenda. And Brenda would have to say, I know of no impediment to my marriage to Brian. That is the law.
And say I put
But
my
you can be telling
up.
Lies.
But say Derek puts his hands up from the back of the ceremony and said, actually, I know an impediment therefore they can't marry.
Funnily enough, that's not something that's in there. It is between the couple. It's not, does anyone know of an impediment?
So you didn't say, does anybody here have any reason why on this earthly world...
That's old law. That's not current law. That's not current law.
Oh, fine, so.
The current law is that you simply have to make this declaration.
To each other.
I have to state that I know of no impediment to my marriage to you, and you have to do likewise. And the interesting thing is, at a humanist ceremony, we have to have that in the ceremony. Some people say to me afterwards, we never hear that in the church. And you don't usually, because you're allowed to make that first declaration, the no impediment declaration, you're allowed to make up to 2 days beforehand. Mm. And in the church, typically they have a rehearsal the night before. And at the rehearsal, they make the no impediment declaration.
Why would you not say it in the church, Brian?
What would be the problem?
There's no problem with saying it in the church, but most couples choose to do that. That's common practice.
Are you sure? Because yeah. Why would that's they not news say it in the church?
Well, it's common practice. Mm.
Really? Yeah. That's news to me because I always thought it was part of the church ceremony.
What? At your ceremony?
I can't remember. Well, I'd say we did. If it had to be said.
You see, the law
it
did,
was said.
What year did you get married? Are we allowed to ask?
Yes, it's 97.
97, yeah. You see, the law has changed since then. Mm. The Civil Registration Act of 2004 is what we're talking about here. And before that, the law was quite different. In fact, now, in order to get married, you must give 3 months' notice of your intent to marry to the Civil Registration Office. And all legal marriages have to be registered there, notice given, and all of that. Whereas prior to the current legislation, you could simply go to a priest and say, I want to get married. You didn't have to go through that.
You just had to get a date in the church.
And the priest would afterwards notify the Civil Registration Office.
Brian, can I ask you a question? Those who don't wish to have a religious wedding, they have the option then of a civil ceremony or a humanist ceremony.
That's absolutely right.
Why would somebody go for a humanist ceremony rather than a civil ceremony?
Well, I have to be careful here because I don't want to speak in any sort of derogatory term.
Take it in reverse. Why would someone go for a civil ceremony rather than...
I mean, a civil ceremony is a legal ceremony and, you know, it can be a very nice ceremony, but it's sometimes seen to be a little bit clinical, a registry office wedding. Some of the state registrars, I think some of them do a terrific job, and they will allow a couple to add quite a lot to the ceremony and have it.
Well, you're going
nice.
To be in and out in half an hour. I voiced a documentary RTE made about the registry office in St. Patrick Dunn's last year, and I thought it was fascinating, I have to say. Yeah. And the people were very happy who went there and loved it.
Yeah.
And the staff were brilliant.
That's why I say I'm not saying anything against them, but there is not the same flexibility in terms of venue, in terms of dates or, you know, days of the week or anything like that. But if somebody has a humanist outlook, you know, do we know what humanism is? Does anyone know what humanism is?
No, that's why
we remind
here.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an ethical life stance that places human life at the centre.
According to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Very good.
According to Terry's notes.
Very good. Yeah, no, that'll do fine. And, you know, it's I suppose, a supply and demand thing, isn't it? I mean, people have been looking for humanist ceremonies for years now. We got legal status just over a year ago. Or just around a year ago. And prior to that, a lot of people still had humanist ceremonies. But in those days, they had to go to the registry office as well because we didn't have legal status. In 2012, we conducted 200 humanist wedding ceremonies. And all of those couples had to go to the registry office as well So they obviously saw some, I suppose, to use the phrase, added value, if you like, in having a humanist ceremony. But since we've got legal status, it's just shot up. Last year, we did just over 400 ceremonies.
Yeah.
And this year, we're way over 600.
Well,
now.
If they go to the registry office, they're signing a piece of paper, a legal document.
That's right.
So now that you can do it legally, you must have in your possession on the day the legal document, presumably.
Absolutely.
And what does it say on the legal document? Who exactly has to sign it apart from the couple getting married? And then what do you forget about it?
I'll tell you exactly what happens. When the couple go to the civil registration office to give notice of their intent to marry, they fill out a form called a marriage registration form, or rather the people in the office fill it out, generate this form, which says the name of the couple, the name of the witnesses, where the ceremony is to take place, when it's to take place, and most importantly, who will solemnize the marriage. And every legal marriage ceremony must have that. And the solemnizer may be a state registrar, maybe a priest or clergyman, or maybe a humanist.
And celibate. You'd be on the list of solemnizers.
We're on the list of
solemnizers. And that's on the GRO website.
On the GRO website.
Because I had a look at it today. There's some over 5,000 people listed there.
There are.
All around the country.
14 of them are humanists.
14 only are humanists.
And
now,
the rest,
who are the other people? Some of them have churches beside them.
Yeah.
And organisations, the HSEs.
They are religious.
And some of them don't have anything beside them.
I didn't know that.
Well, you can have a look, because I had a look earlier.
Sometime.
So I was just wondering, well, who are these people?
Yeah.
And I wondered then, well, in that case, could I marry somebody?
No,
could
Derek,
I be the solemnizer?
No, Derek, you may not.
Why not? According
cannot.
To you, I can't.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah, because
he could become if he became a humanist.
Yeah, well, we have an accreditation process in the Humanist Association. And first of all, if somebody wants to pursue this, they must be a member of our association for 2 years. These are our rules, which we wrote because we're allowed to, and someone
that's
has
fine,
to.
That's fine, yeah. No, it's your organisation, yeah.
So if someone...
Do you allow women in?
We have
go more... On, I'm joking. Go on.
We're almost the polar opposite to a golf club, Derek.
Yeah, all right, go on. So they're your rules, yeah?
Yeah, you have to be a member for 2 years, and then you apply and you set out why you want to do this and why you feel you'd be suitable. You go through a suitability check, if you like, a selection process.
Which is what?
Which is three experienced celebrants interviewing the candidate and looking at them in terms of the attributes which we are looking for, which are, we're looking for people who are empathetic, who have a humanist outlook, who are articulate, who are hopefully presentable, who are reasonably well organised, who can display good judgment. You know the sort of person we might be looking for.
Well, certainly not a radio broadcaster, that's for sure.
So
but you know what I'm saying? So, no, but that's your organisation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's your rules.
Yes, it is.
Now,
yeah.
Why can't I just become a solemniser and not be a member of your club?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because we spent about 10 years campaigning to get the law changed. Because up until last year, the only two groups of people who could conduct legal marriage ceremonies were state registrars and the clergy, okay? So we went looking to get on the list and we were told, if you're not a religion, you can't get in, okay? So we had to look to get the law changed. We got an amendment through which changed the law, and in that amendment, it sets out very, very clearly the type of organisation that you have to be associated with in order to get on the list of solemnizers.
So,
and the legislation, Derek, I'm sorry to tell you, is very, very tight. Not of our making. This is how our legislators put it together, and they laid out the type of organization, how long it has to be in existence, how many members it has to have, what its status is. It needs to be a charitable status. It needs to be this. It needs to be that.
And are you a charitable
yes,
status?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Well, what are you doing with your money that you're raising for your charitable status? Are you raising money?
We don't have very much money. I mean, we're not a commercial organisation at all.
No, you said charity. I heard that. Yeah. So what do you mean? Why are you a charity?
Yeah.
Just to qualify.
We applied to have... I mean, what we do is we promote humanism. Look, Derek,
I'm not having a go at you, by the way.
No,
I'm just responding to what I'm hearing.
I mean, we do go out to schools and talk about humanism. We put on lectures. We have a summer school every year. We promote humanism as a philosophy for life.
And that's okay.
And that's, yeah.
But why can't I, as an individual, why do I have to be a member if I'm not, to be a humanist and I don't want to be a member of your society, but I want to marry close friends of mine who want to get married, why can't
Derek,
I do
you know, I would love you to be, I would love you to be able to. And when we went looking to get the law changed, it was our wish that it would be quite wide. We were not just self-serving. We didn't just want the humanists to be able to get this. We wanted it to be opened out. But the way the law was, the way the legislation was drafted, really
precludes anybody
only allowed
us
to do it. And I'll tell you, we're not rubbing our hands and saying, this is great, we have a bit of a monopoly. We can't keep up with it. There's hundreds of couples who want our type of ceremony who haven't been able to get them.
Okay then, Brian, then get rid of the 2-year waiting list. Or the 2-year probation is what I should say. It's not a waiting list, it's a probation, isn't it?
It's something which is always on our agenda. But you know what? At our last couple of meetings, we thought we wouldn't, because we feel that we have a very good reputation.
Yes, you
are. And we don't want to compromise that. And I think it served us well. You know, it shows a certain commitment if someone has to be a member for a couple of years.
Hmm. Because I was thinking Terry finds himself in this situation, which is... it's really unusual, which is why I was saying at the outset that this is not an April Fool's gag. Yeah. Terry is going as a guest to a wedding.
Yeah.
And if the solemniser gets ill or can't turn up, Terry has to deputise. So will it be legal?
No. Derek, can I just deal with that briefly? I mean, the phrase, the show must go on, comes to mind. I mean, if Derek Mooney has a crash, I hope you never do, Derek, but if you had a crash on the way in, someone has to sit in that chair and do this show. The show has to go on. Now, the only difference with a humanist ceremony is that there's a legal aspect to it. The legal aspect cannot go on if the solemnizer is not there. But it's unthinkable that guests would turn up at a wedding and the solemnizer is unfortunately detained by an accident or illness or whatever.
So when is the legal end tied up?
So what would happen would be a Terry would deliver the non-legal part of the ceremony, and then under separate cover, maybe a month later or whenever suited the couple and suited everybody, the couple with the two witnesses would meet the solemnizer in a public place, in a hotel or whatever, and simply do the legal part.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Because
the word understudy comes to mind, risk assessment.
I know. You know the way if you're
always
a stand-in.
Always the bridesmaid, Terry.
You know if you're on Friday.
Terry, you know if you're a stand-in
You know
for
that.
The show. I know. Yeah. Are you hoping that the chief
doesn't turn up?
Absolutely not.
Come on, Terry. Be fantastic.
Well, I've been telling Joe Armstrong to keep well and go to bed early sort of thing.
What we were thinking was that, okay, well, if we could do it, and if I could, and if somebody was willing to allow me to be the solemnizer at their wedding, we could take the money from them and give it to the Irish Hospice Foundation or somebody like that, you see. That would be a good way of raising money for a decent, hard-working charity. That's what I was thinking. But you're telling me now I can't. Unless I become a humanist and go under a 2-year probationary period.
That's it.
You couldn't speed it up or anything like that. You know, because you know why celebs, in inverted commas, always get things in a hurry. Can you do it for me? Can we do it next week?
Derek, I hate to say this, but absolutely no.